So Ephesians 4, we are actually going to get into what I've prepared. We probably ought to because there's like 10 pages. So I'm really sorry about that. So no, we'll get through here and it'll be good. Ephesians 4, let me pray. Jesus, we need you. Holy Spirit, I need you. God, I am just a broken, wretched man. Lord, I am very acutely aware of my brokenness, of my fallenness, of my sin, Lord. And Lord, I am just very acutely aware of your salvation from those things. And so, God, we come this morning to worship you, Lord. We've worshiped you in song, God, together. We've worshiped you in our offerings and tithes, God, and just giving over of the things that as Americans we hold on to more dearly than most and way more dearly than we should. God, so we've worshiped you through offering, God, and now we just get the opportunity to come and worship you through the studying of your word, God. So I pray that this morning, Lord Jesus, as I am just sharing the word that you have given me, God, that you have laid on my heart, that your Holy Spirit would come, God, that I would be a vessel of your spirit today, Lord, that it would not be my words coming forth, Lord, but it would be yours, God. So I just pray that you would give me courage and boldness and power, Lord, to preach the word of God and to preach it well. And so, Lord, I pray for this body today, God, this body of Christ that meets here at Restored, Lord, that you would open the ears of their hearts, God, that the word that is given today by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that they would receive, that it would be just to encounter them in their deepest places, God, and work life change among them. And so, God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. And, Lord, we just praise you, God, that we get to come freely together and study it here in this place. And so, Lord, be glorified in us just now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to start in verse 11. And we're going to read a few verses. And we're going to talk about them. Kind of the same game. So, Ephesians 4, verse 11. If you have a Bible, if you don't have a Bible, there should be some on the stand. So you can turn there. You can click there on your gadgets, however you gadgetize your word. But I want everybody to get a Bible and read along with me today. So everybody have one? If you need a minute, say, hold on. Holding on. I get to preach my first sermon today with my baby girl in the room. Hope I do a good job. Her salvation probably depends on it. That's a joke. It's a bad joke. Verse 11 says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." All right. The purpose of the body of Christ. That's kind of what this is talking about here in general. It kind of gives some specifics, but in the long and short here, we are talking about the body of Christ, how the body is built and what the body is to do. Okay? And so, I think we need to start back at the beginning of this text, because there's some very key points at the very beginning of this that we have to understand, and if we don't give them the proper reverence, the proper honor, then the text is really just words. And so the very first word that we come to, well, it's the second word actually, and he. The second word we come to in this text is a very key point, because that is going to lay the foundation for everything else that we're going to say. everything else we're going to talk about today. Because who he is essential. Who he is. We're going to go on to talk about other things. We're going to talk about some spiritual giftings and the work of the spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. But if we don't first establish this he and fully come to understand this he and why he, then everything else is just, it's just trying to convince you of something that really has no spiritual weight in your life because it's just words. And so, if we talk about he, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians verse 5 says, there are, and we're going to talk about these, there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So the he in this text is that he. That God, that same God that empowers the gifts in everyone, that empowers service in everyone, that same God that gave his son, Jesus Christ, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And at the beginning of this text, again, we see in verse 11, it says, and he gave again. He gave his son so that we may have salvation. And he gave these things we're going to talk about today so that we may have growth and love and the body of Christ. And so and all this stuff we're going to talk about today. And so I think we need to first come to a very intimate understanding of the he in this. God our Father, God the creator of all things, God the one who created us, who sent his son to die for us, who raised from the dead and ascended into heaven so that we now can have salvation in him, is the he we're talking about here. And if we don't get that, then it's just me trying to convince you. And see where the disconnect is there? I mean, because you don't have to like me. You don't even know me. I mean, you see me around here, but you know, how trustworthy am I? How, you know, what good is my word? And so it's really worthless if it's not coming from him. And so we have to understand today that the words that we share and the text that we read are what he has established. And so I just want to establish that first and so that we can discuss more deeply what it is and why. And so we see in the text, he says, and he did what? We said it just a minute ago. He gave. God is a generous, generous, generous God. I mean, that's part of why we do things like offering, why we do things like tithes, because God is a God that gave to us. He gave himself fully. He paid the ultimate price in sacrificing his life for us in Jesus Christ. His one and only son gave his life, even unto death gave. So there was nothing that he held back. And so the generosity of God is furious. And so Then in turn, our generosity is to likewise be just a ferocious generosity, to give of ourselves to the point of pain even, to the point of sacrifice where we are giving to others and it's costing us. Not giving out of our wealth and abundance, but giving out of sacrifice and adoration for the God who gave. And so we establish that. So he gave, and then there's this big list. It's not that big. Five things. Four and a half. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. And so we're going to talk about why, but first let's talk about what these things are. Because these things, as the body of Christ, These are basically our defenses. These five, four and a half, and we'll talk about that, why I keep saying four and a half. These four or five things are the walls, the pillars of our churches that by which the church that is established as the apostles back in Jesus' day when he said, upon this rock I will build my church, that is continued on through the millennia that we are part of today, are reaping out of the same gifts that were given here. And so we need, so today what I want to do is just kind of establish what those gifts are, why they were given, and how we now respond to those gifts. Okay? So that's going to be kind of our big idea today, if you will. And so, the first one we come to is apostle. Who can tell me what an apostle is? Oh? Yeah. Say that louder. Someone who teaches Christ? Can you name me an apostle? The Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul. The apostle, yeah, okay, so the Apostle Paul, who happened to write this book, kind of, you know, imagine that. So the Apostle Paul, Peter, James, John, the 12, they were the apostles, right? So they've seen Christ, they've encountered Christ, they've been taught by Christ, okay? And so there's the, those men are the apostles. Now, that is, that a form of apostleship, it no longer exists, at least in this world. Now, those men live forever in eternity with Christ, but in our world here today, the office of apostle that was established by Christ is no more. Okay? And so I just want to make sure that there is a distinction there. However, this section of text is referring to spiritual gifting. And it's, so it's referring to a spiritual gifting as well as the office of apostles, but the spiritual gifting of an apostle. Now, what is that? Cricket? Cricket? Nobody? Okay. Good thing we're talking about this today. The office of apostle is the 12. The 12 plus the apostle Paul, who was added later on. Remember, the apostle Paul wasn't one of the originals. Actually, he killed Stephen, one of the original deacons in the church, one of the seven. He was there for Stephen's murder. And so the apostle Paul was there. He was rebelling against those original 12 apostles. But then later on the road to Damascus, we read about in the book of Acts, the apostle Paul encountered Christ. He was knocked off his horse. He was blinded by the light. Christ spoke to him and told him that he would show him how much he must suffer for the sake of his gospel. And so Paul also did not have an encounter with the man of Christ that walked the earth prior to death, but had an encounter with Christ in the heavenly form after he had ascended into heaven. So in his glory. So he still encountered Christ, just in a different form. And so the Apostle Paul is also one of the apostles. Now, the spiritual gift of an apostle is a little different. I've heard it explained like this. Oop, I'm going to trip over myself. Heard it explained like this. It says, we are not talking about those with the office of apostle, but the gift of apostle. This would be missionaries, church planters, cross-cultural missionaries. Would include those who work across multiple churches. I would argue that this, in my opinion, and as a leader in this is a spiritual gift that Pastor Rob has. He has the spiritual gifting of apostleship, of a leader of movements, overseeing multiple churches. Now, yes, we're one church right now, but the vision for Restored is not one church. The vision for Restored is multiple churches, multiple campuses, multiple bodies worshiping the same God. And so that vision, that spiritual gifting has been confirmed in Pastor Rob even recently, as he has been selected as to be the leader of the Urban Church Association. And so he now is the leader of a group of pastors that are pastors of urban churches. So that kind of spiritual gifting of apostleship that Pastor Rob has to oversee movements is confirmed in these other men. So they say, hey, we see your gifting. We recognize the anointing of God on you, and we are and come and help lead this movement. Okay, and so you understand the distinctions there between the apostle office and the apostle gifting. Okay, I just want to make sure. So the first one is the gifting of apostles, and it's talked about in other areas. 1 Corinthians 12:28 says, God has appointed in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helping, administrations, various kinds of tongues, and so on. And so we're going to talk more in weeks to come. As you know, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit for the last few weeks. And so we've been, Pastor Rob has been teaching on the power of the Holy Spirit, on the falling of the Holy Spirit in our lives, convicting us of sin, leading us in righteousness. And so we've got a lot more to do, a lot more work to do in discussing that. And so today we're talking about just a few of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be continuing on talking about them in weeks to come. So if I don't get to all of them today, that's because they're coming later. Okay, the second thing that it's listed in here is that he gave prophets. Now this is your turn to tell me what a prophet is. His word of knowledge, is it good? Good, good, yeah, exactly. Can you name me a prophet from the scriptures? Elijah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Daniel. Yep. Many, many prophets in the Old Testament, right? Okay, and so what was the job of the prophets in the Old Testament? To relay God's word. God would speak to these prophets, whether it's in visions or in word or however means God chose to speak to them, that God would speak to them and tell them, your job is now to go tell the rest. You know, some of them, like Jonah, you know, that God spoke to and he didn't want to go share what God had to say. And so God, you know, many of you have heard Jonah and the whale. I just wanted to talk about that too much today. But, you know, so these prophets were given a word by God that they were now to go share with either God's people or, like in Jonah's case, with the Ninevites, who were not God's people, who were rebelling against God, and God was calling them to repentance. Okay? And so the prophets would share, you know, whether it was the things that were coming, that were going to happen. You know, the book of Isaiah has many prophecies about Christ and his coming and what Christ would look like. The book of Revelation in the New Testament prophesies about the end of time and what that's going to look like. And so there's many prophecies throughout the scriptures that where men and women are given a word from God to share to God's people or to share to other people about God, about things that are coming in the future. Okay? Now there's another kind of prophecy. That is a prophecy. Now are there prophets still today that God speaks to and shares? Yeah, I think so. I think so. Is it less today? Yes. Because the age of the prophets has kind of passed. There was a season where God spoke through the prophets. And as we've been studying in the Holy Spirit, as we've studied the Holy Spirit, that season of God speaking through prophets has transformed now into God speaking through his Holy Spirit in us. And so the prophets hearing word from God, speaking future events, is not necessarily in still existence, but God still does speak and lead his people through the Holy Spirit, leading and guiding them. Now, what's another type of prophecy? Speaking God's word. Exactly. Sharing the word of God is prophecy. Okay? So men and women who are given to sharing the word of God, whether in teaching or in exhortation, is prophecy. And so one of the most common forms of prophecy that we see today is people who are gifted in encouraging and exhorting and building up other people. Now, who doesn't like to be around people like that, right? You just get around them, and they're just telling you all kinds of good stuff. Not like kissing up, because nobody likes a kiss up. But somebody that just makes you feel good, makes you feel encouraged, makes you feel like, I can do this. I'm stronger. I'm better. You know, I can do these things. I mean, that's a strong gift of the Holy Spirit. And we're gonna read more here, but that is a gift that I believe that I've been given. Now, I will confess to you that is a gift that I think I believe and that has been, you know, others have confirmed that I've been given, but it's also a gift that I think has been quenched by sin in my life. By sin of laziness, by sin of critical spirit. So whether then speaking encouragement I think critically. And so, it's something that I have to frequently repent of to overcome the temptation to give in to the critical spirit and not walk in the gifts of the Spirit of prophecy and building up and exhorting and encouraging. And so pray for me in that. That's something I pray for regularly. It's in my journal of one of the things that I'm always praying for is that the critical spirit that I have, would God would help me to overcome that. And so 1 Corinthians 13 verses 3 through 5 talks a little bit more about prophecy. It says, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. What is the purpose of prophesying? To build up the church. Right? So we've talked about apostles and prophets. Apostles are men that are called, given a vision by God to lead and shepherd movements and multitudes of churches and peoples. And then prophets, so building up the churches, right? Leading and strengthening and building up the churches. The prophets are given as people who are called and encouraged to strengthen and encourage and confirm and build up the church, right? Next, let's talk about evangelists. It says, next he states that he gave evangelists. So how many people get uncomfortable when you just start talking about evangelism? Come on. Yeah, I know. Yeah, it can be intimidating, can't it? Evangelizing. What does it mean? Mackenzie, do you know what evangelism is? We got to talk. I'm just kidding, honey. Who can tell me what evangelism is? Telling the good news? That's right. Yeah. Sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with people all over the world. People who don't know Jesus Christ. All over the world, right? That's what I'm convicted I'm supposed to do with my uncle on Monday. Is share the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. Right? So who has the gift of evangelism? Laura Farney, raise your hand. Yeah. Okay, there are men and women that have... that God has placed in them just a hunger to share Jesus Christ with other people. And so Laura sits here and says, how many letters have you written to your friends sharing the gospel with them? A couple hundred. But she doesn't have the gift of evangelism. A couple hundred letters. Do you think that that's a spiritual gifting in her that has convicted her and given her a burden for her friends and her neighbors and family members that don't know Jesus to know Jesus? She's burdened by that. How many of you have written 200 letters in your lifetime? I have not. I probably haven't written 200 emails in my lifetime, let alone letters. Okay? And so that's evangelism, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what is the purpose of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? Salvation. So that others may know him and be saved and do what? Share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so as it reciprocates on itself, what is the byproduct of that? The body of Christ is built up. Again, you see the theme here? Please tell me you see the theme here. I mean, I couldn't make it out, Maury. So the apostles, overseers of multitudes of churches, movements, many churches for shepherding, leading, strengthening, building them up. The prophets, encouragers, confirmers, exhorters, building up the people of the body of Christ, right? The evangelists, people who share the gospel, who share the love of Jesus Christ, who share what he did, who share a testimony so that they can, that others will know and receive Jesus Christ, and the body of Christ will be built up, right? Okay, let's keep going. Next, it says, and this is where I said 4.5, because it's kind of unclear. Hold on, I didn't finish that. What am I thinking? 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, says, just talking about the office of apostle, it says, Acts 2:8, let me start there. It says, on the next day we departed, not the office of apostle, the spiritual gift of evangelism. I don't know where that came from. On the next day we departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. What does it say that Philip was? The evangelist. It specifically lines him out as an evangelist. Now, one of the seven, does anybody know what that means? Not one of the disciples. One of the deacons. Remember the disciples? They were trying, in Acts, I believe it's Acts chapter 6. Yeah, it's Acts chapter 6. It tells us that the apostles, the disciples, were working tirelessly, serving the needs of the widows and the orphans and seeing to the needs of all the believers. You know, the church caring for one another, because we just had Acts chapter 2, just a little bit beforehand, where it said that they were meeting together in the temple courts daily, praying together, breaking bread together, and that all the believers who were saved were selling of their possessions, caring for one another so that no one had need. All that was going on, started in Acts chapter 2. And then we get to Acts chapter 6, and it kind of says that's gotten a little bit overwhelming. There's lots of people with needs. There's lots of people without. There's lots of people that need food and clothing and shelter and all the needs of the church that we see here daily. And so the Lord led the apostles to appoint deacons. And the role of the deacon was to take that burden from the apostles of caring for the needs of the body physically, so that the apostles could care for the spiritual needs of the body, and then the deacons would be in charge of caring for the physical needs of the body. Okay? So there's the distinction there. So the deacons served the people, loved the people, cared for their physical needs, and allowed the apostles and the disciples to spiritually lead and guide, pray for, seek the Lord on, all those to teach those things of the body of Christ, okay? And so Philip, who was one of the seven that was appointed as a deacon, had the gift of evangelism. It also tells us in 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, it says, as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Every time I read that, it makes me think of Pastor Jerry from Lighthouse. How many of you know Pastor Jerry? That's Pastor Jerry. I mean, he is always, always ready to share the gospel. I mean, he is, when it says do the work of evangelists, Pastor Jerry, Rob calls him the Bible answer man. He knows, he has memorized so much scripture that it's just, I mean, he can write anything you say to him. Anytime I come to him and I'm like, well, you know, this and that, and kind of have this going on, well, you know, it tells us in Timothy, the blah, 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 blah. Dang, you're right, it does. I mean, he always has an answer from, not his own wisdom, the Bible. He always quotes you scripture to build up, to encourage, always ready to share the gospel, share the love of Jesus Christ. Okay? And so, I mean, it just makes me think of Pastor Jerry in that regard. Now, the next gifting, I'll get to that now. The next one is kind of, it's unclear whether it's two separate or it's kind of one combined. So we're going to, It doesn't really matter either way, because it's the same result in the end. But the next it says, we see that he gave the shepherds and teachers. And so, we won't talk about Greek, because I don't know Greek, but just there was some of the commentaries I read talked about how it's unclear with the way that the verbs were conjugated. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
The verbs were conjugated, that whether they was, that was one gifting or two separate giftings. And in the end, it's going to produce the same result. Can you imagine what it is? Hey, building up the body of Christ. Man, she must be a pastor's wife. So, the shepherd and teacher role. So the role of shepherd and teacher is the one who is called to oversee the church. Now, that's different from apostle. Because the apostles were, but the gifting of apostle. Oftentimes you would probably assume that someone who has the gifting of apostleship also has the gifting of shepherd and teacher, but not necessarily the other way around. So whereas Pastor Rob, which I would say has the gifting of apostleship and shepherd and teacher, apostleship is not one of my spiritual giftings, but shepherd and teacher is. And so the shepherds and teachers are given as overseers of the body of Christ. They are the ones who are responsible for the leading, the guiding, kind of like we talked about with the deacons handled the physical needs, the shepherds handled the spiritual needs. They establish the deacons. They establish and make sure that the ministries of the church are working properly. They are responsible for the spiritual oversight, prayer, building up, teaching the word of God. So that is the job of a shepherd and an elder, okay, to spiritually go to battle for the body of Christ. Now, in that note, the shepherd, the body is, and one of the most terrifying things in my life, quite honestly, is that the Bible is very clear. It tells us in Hebrews 13:17 that the elders, the shepherds, will give an account for the body. Now, why is that scary? Because that means that one day, as an elder of Restored Community Church, the elders here are myself, Elder Jared, and Pastor Rob. One day, the three of us, as it stands right now, and pray that God will lead others in the future, the three of us will stand before God himself and give an account for how we led this body. If that is not terrifying, I don't know what is. Have you all met you? I'm kidding, but I'm not. I will stand and give an account how I loved you. I shared it at our leadership meeting yesterday, I wish I could remember where I heard it, but there was a story of a pastor that was had a gentleman come to him, wanted to meet with him, have a cup of coffee, so they get together, and the gentleman says, Pastor, I'm really having a hard time here. I don't know if this is the church for me because, and he kind of pulls out this list of six or seven things. He's like, look at all these things that, I see that are wrong with this body. Which we would have a conversation about that if it happened. And so he pulls out and the pastor says, son, thank you. But let me share with you the 50, 60, 100 other things that are wrong with this body that I see on an everyday basis that I am responsible for and will give an account to God for. Because that's, as overseers of the church, that is all. We will answer for all of that. We don't get to say, well, she wouldn't listen. What am I supposed to do? You're supposed to shepherd her. He wouldn't stop the drugs, the alcohol. What am I supposed to? You're supposed to shepherd him. He would, whatever the excuses are, we don't get to make them. God isn't going to listen to them. He does not care about my excuses. He has called us to shepherd and lead this body. And one day we will give an account for that, for how well we loved you, for how well we ministered to you, for how well we prayed for you, for how well we taught, for this sermon right now, as I stand before you and teach, I will give an account to God for my preparation, for where my heart was as I was preparing. Was I distracted? Was I all those things? That's serious business. Because God is not playing when it comes to his body. If you've seen here, we just talked about four different spiritual gifts. And each one of them, the sole purpose of them is for building up the body of Christ. And if you think that then we come to the shepherd and teacher role, and he's just going to give them a pass because it's hard, when he's laid all these gifts out there to build up the body, but the shepherd and teacher, well, it's a difficult job. It's a thankless job, and so, we can cut them a little slack if they're not building up the body properly. It's not going to happen. It's going to be an account that we all stand before God and give. And so, Jeremiah 3, kind of getting off of that soapbox, sorry. Jeremiah 3 tells us just kind of a promise from God, and from the Old Testament, says, I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And then Acts 20:28 says, pay careful attention to yourselves, this is speaking to the shepherds, and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. The blood of Jesus purchased this church. This one. All the churches through the ages have been purchased by the blood of Christ. And now I stand before you responsible for that. Okay, that keeps me up. There's not many things that keep me up as night, ask Brandy. I pass out. But that keeps, I mean, that keep, and it should keep, I'm not asking for sympathy. That should keep me up at night. That is the joy of my life and the great burden of my life. To know what's going on, the hardships that are in the body, those that are going without, those who can't get a food, those who don't have a place to sleep, those who, you know, are struggling with whatever, different sin struggles, different relationships being broken, all those things that are occurred, even in this little body, okay, are happening. And so as shepherds and overseers, out of the love, it says, pay careful attention to you, to care for the church that God has given you and purchased with his blood. God has given us this church through his blood and set us to oversee and to care for her. And so for you, as we care and love and shepherd for you, it is just the great, like I said before, the great joy and the great burden of our life. To love you, to shepherd you, to encourage you, to build you up, so that then in turn, you can build others up, as we've talked about. Now, the second part of that, the teaching. It says shepherds and teachers. And so whether it's a separate gift, whether it's the same gift, the Bible's clear in the listing of the qualifications of an elder, of an overseer. It says that he must be able to teach. And so whether that means it's included or not, it doesn't really matter. But a shepherd and an overseer, an elder in the church, must be able to teach the Word of God. Must be able, whether it's in a public preaching setting like this, or whether it's in just a one-on-one, hey man, you know, here's what the Bible says. Hey, here's how the Scripture leads. You know where it says this? This is kind of what it's talking to. This is talking to those sins in your life and how to repent. This is talking about how to build others up. And so it's teaching the Bible. And so, the other part of that gift is the ability to teach the Word. Okay. Now we've kind of beaten it pretty badly, but the purpose of these gifts, at the end of that section of text in Ephesians, it says that he was given to equip the saints for the work of ministry and for building up the body of Christ. And so he gave a list of five gifts, four and a half, in one verse. And then the next five verses are spent explaining why. Okay? It talks about the equipping of the saints. And so today we're just going to, just in the next few minutes, we're going to have run out of time, but I want to just kind of share with you what that looks like as far as equipping the saints. We talked about building up the body of Christ. We talked about how the different roles, the different gifts of the Spirit that are given to build up the body of Christ. Now, what is the body of Christ's role in that? That was a question. Does that make sense? Let me ask it a different way. I'm getting the look here. She's like, I have no idea what you're saying. So, did you hear me, Tally? Thank you. Thank you for reading through the lines of my confusion and getting that. So yeah, the body is God has given specific spiritual giftings to people to build up the body of Christ. And then in response to that, the body of Christ sits there and gets fat. Negative. Negative. The body of Christ. Let's read on in Ephesians. It says, for building up the body of Christ at the end of verse 12, until, and we read this earlier, we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. To what? To maturity. To mature manhood. To the measure of the stature of the what? The fullness of Christ. Now, let's just stop there for a second. The maturity and the fullness of Christ. What is that? Grown up, right. Right. The, did I not write it down? 9 pages of notes. I didn't write that one verse. Golly. Okay. I believe it says it in Timothy. It tells us that we will no longer need, needs milk. Bludgeoning it. Well, anyway. So, anyway, we will eat solid food. We will not be nursing on milk anymore like babies, but we will grow up in maturity. And in that text, it speaks specifically about that you're not doing the basic things of just believing in God and repenting anymore. Now, when I read that, I'm like, dang, that's the basics. Repenting and faith in Christ are the spiritual baby portion. How many struggle with repenting just in itself? Yeah. But the text in, I think it's Timothy 2, tells us that you will not be still using spiritual milk of just repentance and believing in Jesus, but you will grow on to maturity and eating spiritual meat. Now, if repentance is milk, what does meat look like? Okay? And so, this is the role of the body of Christ. So as the shepherds and the overseers and the prophets who exhort and the evangelists who bring in and spread the gospel and grow the kingdom and the apostles who oversee it and the movements are doing all those things, the body of the Christ is growing in repentance to where repentance is just natural. It's just like, you know what, there's sin in my life, I'm repenting, done, moving on to me. You know what? I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm not going to tarry around in this, oh, is God good mindset anymore. I'm moving on. Done. Meet. He's good. I know it. We don't have to mess with that anymore. What's next? He's good. I'm repenting of my sin. We're not messing with that anymore. What's next? Okay, we're overcoming those things to move on to meet. And it tells us in verse 29 of chapter 4, of this same chapter, it talks about building up the body of Christ. It says, let no corrupting talk come up out of your mouths, but only that is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So that your words are to be words of encouragement, of building, of strengthening your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. It says, in Corinthians verse 12, chapter 12, verse 27, it says, you are all the body of Christ. Individually, you are members of it. So it doesn't, none of you get excluded from this. If in Christ, you are all the body of Christ. And so all of us, including myself, all of us have a responsibility as the body of Christ to be built up in the Word, to be built up under the exhortation and teaching of the leadership, and to be moving on from spiritual milk to spiritual meat, growing in Christ. And so if we're not doing that, we are falling short of what the body of Christ is called to do. And so, in the end of our text, it says we all, or the middle of the text there in Ephesians 4, verse 13, says we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So it says that we are going to mature into the fullness of Christ. Now, are we going to attain the fullness of Christ? Someday. In this life? No. But we are continually being built up, being strengthened, growing up into maturity until we reach that fullness. There it is. Hebrews 5:14 says, solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers. Solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice and distinguish good from evil. That's solid food right there. So, here's your escape, okay? Once you have attained to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, once all have attained to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and attained to mature manhood and the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, you can stop. Deal? It's that easy. Once we've reached that level, you can stop. You no longer have to evangelize, Laura Farney. You don't have to write any more letters once everybody has done it. Okay? Praise God. Only problem is that this side of heaven, it's not happening. We've talked about in here before that already not yet kingdom, how we are, you know, Christ has come, Christ has lived, Christ has died, Christ has been resurrected, and so the power of the Holy Spirit is here with us, in us, around us, everywhere. And, you know, the kingdom of God is inside of us living, but it's not yet fully here. So just like the kingdom is here but not fully here, that fullness and maturity is here some, but not yet fully here. So we're awaiting that day when the maturity of God, I don't know why I'm doing this, flow with it. The maturity of God and the growth of the body of Christ is ever growing, ever presently moving forward, being built up, you know, and it's happening. You know, it's happening here in a few weeks when we send a team to South Dallas to share the gospel of Christ. They're going down there to share the love of Jesus Christ, to evangelize, to prophesy, to encourage, to build up the body of Christ. It's happening when when mission teams are sent overseas, when wherever they go. The Bible and the name of Jesus Christ is reaching into tribes of farthest unreached, deepest parts of the jungles of South America and the deserts of Africa that have never before heard the name of Jesus Christ. That name of Jesus Christ is being proclaimed around the world. So that measure is growing every day. Okay? But as Americans here in the church, we get kind of in our little comfortable, well, like I'm here on Sunday and I'm here on Wednesday night for life group and, you know, we have that First Friday thing and then, you know, it's once a month and then there's that Sunday night prayer and praise once a month. That's a lot of time to be with the church. Can't we do something a little less? Can't we, you know, we really have to be together that often? Yes. Yes. Because we have to grow into that maturity of Christ. It's the body of Christ together, building itself up, whether through the teaching, through exhorting, through worship and prayer and the power of Christ to overcome sin, to get off the spiritual milk of repentance and move on to meat. You're not going to do that by yourself. I'm not going to do that by myself. That's why we have the body of Christ. And so Ephesians 6, many of you have heard this. Many of you have heard this. It's very common. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Our text in verses 14 says, so that we may no longer be children, we talked about that, tossed to and fro by the waves, everything, the little thing that comes along knocks us off course, makes us start questioning ourselves, our salvation, is God good, can I trust these people, they're a little wacky, the elder's kind of short and pudgy, I don't know about these guys, you know, all these questions that start raising up in our head anytime something odd happens. And so it says, get off of those things, that we no longer are tossed around by those things, or by every wind of doctrine, false teaching, spiritual doctrines, that, you know, new ideas, whether it's, you know, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, you know, any the new spiritual teachings that are not biblical, that we don't get swayed by those things, but by human cunning and by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Right here, verse 11 of Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. It says the body of Christ is part of that. You've got the armor of God, the helmet of righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of truth, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of... I keep missing the shield. Faith, shield of faith. What did I say? Belt of truth, health of salvation. I'm sorry. Pray for me. See? So, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, so that the whole body, you, me, us, joined and held together by every joint. Okay? All of us joined together. When each part, it says in the verse 16, when each part is working properly, that means every one of us doing our thing. Me, I'm leading, I'm shepherding, I'm praying, I'm going to spiritual battle for you. You, you're receiving those things. You're being built up. You're encouraging one another. When each part is working properly, it says, causes the body to grow. The body of Christ grows, gets built up in love, is the very last thing in this text. Causes the body to grow so that it builds itself up in love. That is the purpose of every one of these gifts. That is the purpose of every spiritual gift we're going to read about from here on out, is to build up the body of Christ. That's all they're for, is to build up the body of Christ in love, in strength, in encouragement, okay, in discernment, to grow as men and women of God. As a body, we grow closer together. We become more just intimately knowledgeable of one another's needs and burdens and strongholds and strengths, so that we work together as the body of Christ, each one of us individually working as one body to grow up in Christ. Okay, so that is, like I said at the beginning, that's the big idea of this whole thing, is that we can cause one another to grow up, to stop nursing on spiritual milk, and to chomp on some big old fat juicy filet mignon, medium rare spiritual meat, to grow up the body of Christ in us. Christ Church is going to grow, people. It's whether or not we're going to be part of that. Okay? I mean, that's what this boils down to, is if Restored Community Church is going to be an active and a mighty weapon in the arsenal of God against the schemes of the devil in a dark and fallen world, or are we just going to be a stagnant little people in a basement that are just here to feel good about ourselves and sing some peppy songs and go on about our week? That is not at all why we're here. If that's why you're here, I'm sorry. Maybe you're in the wrong place. Or maybe you need to repent and get here for the right reasons. And so, that's all I have. That felt like just a whirlwind of ADD. So, let me pray. So, Jesus, we love you. God, we love your body. God, we love, Lord, that you took great care, Lord Jesus, to establish very specific gifts, Lord, so that your body can live and thrive and move and minister and grow and be built up in your name. And so, Lord, that's what we're here for, God. We are here to be part of that, God, that we are submitting to the giftings and the authorities that you have placed in our lives, God, whether that's pastoralship or eldership or biblical authority in our lives, God, that we lay our lives down before that, God, to say, Lord, we recognize that you, God, it says, and he gave. You are the one that established them. You are the one that selected and called the men and women who fill them. You are the one who established them in those roles, God, and you are the one that strengthens them to persevere in those roles, God. And so, Lord, we just submit ourselves under your authority of God, as God, to the people that you have called, Lord. And, Lord, we submit ourselves, Lord, to your authority as God in the calling that you have placed on us. Lord, where I quite honestly wrestle with the sin of critical spirit, Lord, that has quenched the gifting of prophecy in me to be able to build up with others in exhortation and encouragement because I'm always thinking negatively. Lord, I submit to you and in your authority in my life, God, to the calling and the gifting you have given me, God, and I repent of that sin, God, and I ask that you help me to overcome it, Lord. If there's men and women in this room, Lord, that are, there are men and women in this room, God, that are in the same boat I am, God, that they know the call that God has placed in their life, or they're wondering about a call that God has placed in their lives, but there is a separation, a sin that is keeping them from fully submitting to your calling in them. Whether it's, Lord, I am quite convinced Laura Farney is not the only evangelist in here. Lord, I know there are a few other hands, but Lord, there is a calling, a spiritual gifting of evangelism that men and women in this room have been given, but that fear and the fear of man has kept them from fulfilling. And so Lord, we repent for things like that. Lord, there is calling on men and women in this room, men in this room specifically, Lord, to be leaders and elders in a church. And that though because of busyness or the time commitment or the fear of the accountability, Lord, have decided that, you know, maybe not right now. And so, Lord, we repent of those things. Or prophecy, or people who have been called to teach, God, that just feel more comfortable sitting and being taught because it's easier. And so, Lord, we repent of that. And so, Jesus, I just pray, God, that you would speak into us, Lord, as we continue to study your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you'd speak into us the callings of your Spirit on our lives, Lord, and that you would give us boldness and courage, Lord, to, kind of like I did today, Lord, not to try and glorify myself in any way, but, Lord, to confess to others when you have convicted me of something that I need to do and I'm afraid to do it, Lord, that we would have the courage to confess that to others so that we are accountable now to others, that now I am accountable to this entire body to share with my uncle, Lord, your glory. And, Lord, Lord, that is a new burden, Lord, that I gladly accept because I know that is your will. And so, Lord, we submit ourselves to your will, to your love, God. We submit ourselves to you, Jesus, as our Lord and our authority and our Savior above all things. So, Jesus, we love you, and we just pray that you would just help us to love you more, God, as we are built up, strengthened, and encouraged in the name of Jesus Christ. It is in your glorious name that we pray. Amen.